We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, your host this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Jason Mung. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. Good to see you. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get those uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work from a company with Christian values. Please remember to like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us this morning. I think I covered it all. That seemed awful short.
You got the micro man going.
Would you like to pray to start us out this morning?
You bet. So, Father, we just thank you for another beautiful day that we can wake up and just celebrate life in you, God. We just thank you for your words. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who just leads, guides, comforts. Father, the list goes on and on and on of all the things that you are for us. And Father, I just thank you for speaking today, Father. I just submit my mouth to you. I submit my words to you, Father. I just ask that you would come and speak, that you would bring encouragement to your body today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, Rejoice in Your Salvation.
Yeah. So, just kind of been thinking, even just kind of personal life experience, you know, a lot of times I just kind of teach from that, what's going on in my life, what God's speaking to me through his word, and those things. So, what I've noticed in life is, a lot of people, I kind of see two groups of people right now. People that are really highly encouraged and people that are really discouraged. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like this, a divide like I've never seen. And so I just wanted to encourage today. And for those who are highly encouraged, continue on to be highly encouraged today. But maybe there's a group of people out there that are feeling kind of discouraged. Today I just kind of want to highlight, and the title today was Rejoice in Our Salvation, right? To understand what Jesus did was more than died on the cross to wipe your slate clean. It was so much more than that. That's a significant part of that, right? That does earn us eternal life for him. But I think Christianity oftentimes has been sold as a ticket into heaven. The salvation, the forgiveness of your sins and salvation received, and now your ticket's into heaven. But what about this life? You know, what about this life here on earth? There was a time for us, as the scripture tells, there was a time for us to be born, a specific place of our dwelling. There's purpose, there's destiny in each and every person's life that's born today. And I don't care if you were an accident, right? You were not an accident. God knew your existence. He knew the time that you were going to be born. He knew what you were going to be born, right? God knew all of those things, and he chose you. And as the word says, that you were predestined before the foundation of the earth. Like before God spoke any of these things into existence, you were on his mind. You already had a place in history. And I'm just in here to encourage you guys today. If you are listening to this program, guess what? You were picked for this time. And to me, that's such an exciting thing. I get so fired up. I know we're in probably one of the craziest times in history in my lifetime. And looking back, you know, I have a grandma that's 93 years old, and one of the things she loves to do is just share stories. And I like to listen to those stories. It's just kind of a hearing her experiences and what she's been through. And I just think, wow, can you imagine 93 years of living, how much change has happened? You know, I mean, she went to school riding on a horse and a buggy. And here we are, like, we have stuff I think of those, the kids stand on and roll around these little one-wheelie things, electric scooters and all this stuff. Like, it's crazy how far technology has advanced in just the lifespan of the generations of my family that still live, you know, that still live today. And I'm just like, Grandma, I can't imagine what this looks like to you. Like, looking out at what you're seeing and like, this is not what I grew up in, you know. But there's one thing that I know, and this is what God has just kind of been talking to me about, even through my life experience, is even though life is changing almost daily, it seems, with technology advances, almost daily, He never has.
That's right.
He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And so I want to encourage you guys today in your salvation, right? To have joy in your salvation. Understand what God paid for. The full price. Not just your salvation. It wasn't just for the other side. I always tell people, if it was just about your salvation, as soon as you said yes, God would have just killed you. Like, hi-ya. Take you up. We're like, we made it. You know, we got him in. We caught the fish. But it was so much more than that. As a matter of fact, what we are called to in our life and what that looks like is to walk in the joy of our salvation. Why? To reproduce that. Because there's other people out there that don't have hope. You now understand the hope. You have the joy of the Lord. It becomes the strength in your life. Strength for what? The strength for you to endure this life. Mm-hmm. For the things that come at you. Because I know, you know, each and every one of us, we have our own stories. We have our own circumstances. You know, and God is with us through them all. And so I want to bring out a couple of scriptures. We're going to go into 2 Corinthians in 1. And I just want to encourage you guys today. I hope by the end of this podcast today that you guys just feel encouraged in the Word of God and who God is in your life, who we are to one another. And if you found yourself maybe lately down in the dumps, if you find yourself focusing on circumstance as opposed to finding yourself focused on who God is, let's reshift our focus today. Let's rejoice in our salvation, right? Let's find the joy that is in that once again. So I'm going to read out of 2 Corinthians 1, and we're going to go to verse 3 to start. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us," right? To me, that's like, you know, we talk about the Great Commission. We're sent, right? Mm-hmm. Each and every person in the body of Christ that says yes to Jesus, you don't have to be called as a pastor or a prophet or apostle or a teacher or evangelist to be in the work of ministry, right? As a matter of fact, we are all called to the work of the ministry. And if you go look into Ephesians 4 and 11, where it just names those fivefold gifts, what does it say? It says to equip the saints for what? The work of the ministry. Each and every one of us are called to a ministry in our life when we say yes to Jesus. And just like I said, as a matter of fact, that was predestined. Long before your parents ever thought about you, God was thinking about you. God picked your time in history. God chose the gifts, the characteristics, all of those things that you are made of. God chose those and He created you in a way that you fit perfect for right now, right? And some of you out there, I know we sometimes go through things in life and it causes us to struggle with that identity and say, why am I even here? What is my purpose? You know, all of these questions. And my biggest encouragement of that is go read the Word of God, you know? Things like this are great. Bible studies are great. Going to church on Sunday. All those things are great. You will not find satisfaction or fulfillment in your salvation just doing the stuff. You won't.
That's right.
How do I know? Because I did it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Same.
I did it. I used to, I got the salvation part. I recognized my need for the Savior, right? I was thankful for the forgiveness of my sins. But what I didn't realize in that moment was now you're called to a life that, well, what does he call us to? He calls us to set aside that old life, to give it up. You know, and the way he says it in the Word is if you give up your life, you actually gain it. And, you know, for me, that it's kind of the simplistic message of the gospel that sometimes is overlooked. We put sometimes so much focus on them saying that salvation prayer, you know, coming to Jesus, but we don't give the instruction on. We don't continue the encouragement. We don't disciple, you know. That's what the Word calls us to. Build up each other in your most holy faith. And how do we do that? It's through the Word. You know, I can sit here and I can say all this good stuff. I can encourage you and all this and that. Go read 5 minutes in the Word and you'll get 10 times more than you will listening to me for an hour. You know, what I try to do most of all is always go to the Word, always bring forth the Word. I think sometimes we just talk too much. And we just need to be looking at what the Word says, you know, not this is what I think, this is what I get from it, but let's just read it. Let's take it for what it is. Let's let the Holy Spirit teach us the truth of what that is in our life. And you know what? That's one of the things that he's really working in me right now is the unity of the body of Christ. And that's how we get to that unity, is we go read it and we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. And then it's no longer about what this thing thinks about it. It's about the truth of what the Holy Spirit is revealing. And as he does that in each and every one of our lives, that's the answer to Jesus' prayer in John 17, that they would be one like you and I are one. Mm-hmm. Like we see in our current day's history, too much division. You know, there's too much division in the body of Christ because this is the way I see that scripture. This is the way they see that scripture. When if we were just relying on the Holy Spirit, what do you say about this scripture? Show me the truth here. And when we rely on that place, guess what? We all have the same truth. Mm-hmm. That's a oneness in the body of Christ. And I totally see God moving in a way. I've been a Christian for 30 plus years. I see God moving in a way now that I've never seen him move in the body of Christ to bring that unity back. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited about that. Because mm-hmm. I know even in my lifetime, I've went through this morphing of I grew up in the church. I kind of got fed up with the church, you know, because of just the way we were acting, you know, the things that we were doing. But I have not given up on the church, the body of Christ. And I totally see God doing something in us in each and every denomination. I hear stories even from local around town, and I have connections all over the United States that mostly into the West Coast. But just hearing God, he's doing something different. He's waking up his people to a way where we're starting to put aside the way that we think, and we're just starting to get the truth of the Word, and it's bringing a unity like I've never seen before, and I'm so excited about that. Because I know that will bring an ultimate healing to the body of Christ that is completely necessary in this moment. You know, I think about what we're going through in current times. What we're experiencing in life itself can bring discouragement. But that's only if we're looking at it. That's only if that's what's being our focus, right? I understand, like, everything's going up. I've had electric bills the last few months that have set new records, you know, and I hear other people saying the same thing. Like, it blows my mind going to the grocery store. You know, used to could walk out with bags on both arms for $100, and now walk out and there's two bags and it's $100, you know. Like, I get it, but those things cannot become our focus, because if they do, we are giving lordship to something other than God in our lives, right? And to me, that's why it's so important to go to the Word, to be encouraged from that. Because if you're just letting life be the voice, oh, it's not encouragement. Especially right now, you know. I know our country is in a place of turmoil. Not just our country. It's a worldwide problem. It's a good versus evil problem, you know. And we see what's going on is this agenda, one world agenda that we see according to Scripture. We know it's coming, right? But it doesn't say lay down and give in. Not what this says, right? We're supposed to stand up in this. And, you know, again, in the realm of Christianity, I hear different voices talking, you know, Jesus is about to come back and, you know, this, that, and the other. It's doomsday. Ah, getting all crazy with it. And it's like, man, like, let's live in the joy of our salvation, right? Let's refocus. Let's take it back a little bit. Let's take our eyes off of what's going on, right? Because we aren't called to look at what's going on. We're called to look at our Father. I'm reminded when you go through the New Testament and you look at Jesus' life, every time he went to a disciple, what did he say? The simplicity of two words, follow me. That's it. You know, follow me. And the mandate for the church has not changed. What we see in the calling of the 12 is no different in the calling of the rest of the body. Jesus is simply saying, follow me. And when we walk in that way, when we are encouraged by his word, there is a joy. And this is something that don't make sense to the mind. It's our strength. Joy becomes your strength. And that's only something that can happen in a supernatural, in a Holy Spirit-filled, in a Christ-following manner, right? Because if we look at circumstance, if we think about, oh gosh, this bill, if we start to look at all these things, electric bill's gone up, gas bill's gone up, all of these things, the gas pump prices have gone up, the grocery bills have gone up, right? If we start to look at those things, joy doesn't exist. So neither does strength, because that's where your strength comes from. It comes from the joy that you have in God. And I found myself, it's kind of wild, I found myself more into the Old Testament here as of lately as in the New Testament. And what I kind of see in that picture is the Old Testament is God to us. The New Testament is God through us, right? And what he's reminding me of that is, like, I've taught mostly from the New Testament because that's the covenant we live in, right? That's where we come from. But that's what Jesus has empowered us to walk out in our lives. But it's almost as, and I even see this in my circles that God has kind of connected me to. I see a lot of people going back to the Old Testament. And what I realize in that is because it's God to us. And we are living in a time, we need God to show up. We need him to show up like never before. And we look at a worldwide perspective. Again, it's not just politics. It's not just Republican and Democrat. It's not just race against the color. You know, it's not all that stuff. That's what they try to make it about. Those are the distractions. That's how the enemy works, right? He brings all these things in to say, pick a side. Well, I did pick a side. It was Jesus' side, right? So I'm taking my eyes off of all the other stuff that they're trying to get me to pick a side of the fence or find a group to high, you know, give my yell, my scream to. No, that's a distraction. And as Christians today, I want to encourage you, if you have found yourself in a place where you're focusing on all those distractions, let's regroup. Let's take it back. Go back, and as the word says, go back to your first love. Find that in your heart once again and say, God, I remember. It may have been 5 years ago, may have been 10 years ago, may have been 30 years ago, may have been 50 years ago for you, where you said yes to Jesus. And there was something that happened in that moment that you recognized. It changed your entire life. That's your first love, right? And, I mean, Paul talks about this in there, and he encouraged the church back then. They walked away from that. They got out of that. Why? Because life. They took their eyes off the focus of their joy, of their salvation. Because in that moment, I can remember that day. It was like, you know, I hear different people's experiences, and it's different for every person. But like a 1,000-pound weight just got lifted off my shoulder. Like a smile came to my face that I've never experienced before. A joy and a peace entered my heart that I've never known, right? It's different for different people because some people carry different weights, you know? But every time when you accept Jesus, that weight, when he places his yoke, it's light. The burden is easy in that, right? You feel that. But if we're not careful, what do? We walk through life and we begin to pick things up, put them back on there, right? We begin to look at things that are not to be our focus. Because the enemy is out there trying to deceive, to distract, right? So that he can bring destruction into your life. But if we would just come back to our first love and say, God, I remember. And one of the things I find in the Old Testament, go read the books of Psalms. And one of the things I see in this is David writes a lot of these things. Like, he mentions oftentimes his sin. And we have to understand, let's get the right lens of that on. We live in New Covenant. Because a lot of times David gets spankings, you know, because he messed up a lot. Mm-hmm. But he was the apple of God's eye. Why? And go read those books, because his heart always stayed tender before God. It didn't mean he didn't mess up. We all still mess up, right? Mm-hmm. That's okay. And oftentimes I see in the Psalms, like David's like, you know, sorry about those sins. Forgive me those sins. Let go of those sins. Understand in Jesus Christ in the new covenant, he did. It's already over with. So don't go back in there and be like, oh, yeah, I know, and let that be a reminder of your sin. Mm-mm, don't do that. David does talk about those things, but what does he always do right after? Thank you, God. You are my rock. You are my refuge. You are the restorer of my soul. Like, he just pours out his heart to God, and it's an identification again of who God is. Yeah, I screwed up. This is where I messed up real bad. But God, this is who you are. And he reminded himself of that over and over and over. And I just see that in the Old Testament. God is just bringing me to a new place in my life to remember, this is who I am to you. I go back and read those stories. The great Exodus, the freedom that Israel was given because God showed up. Right? Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego facing the fire, right? All these places where they put their faith and their trust in God, and God to them became their refuge. He became their deliverer, right? And we understand that in our salvation, but we have went through a period of time in life. And I think about this. Israel went 430 years living in slavery. They didn't see God show up. They lived generation after generation after generation in oppression under a whip. And it caused them to lose their focus on who God really was, right? And so it took God showing up in a way to reveal himself in a way that he had not done for generations. And I truly feel this inside, and I see a confirmation again in the Old Testament according to his word. God is about to show up to us. Once again, I listen to the voices of the prophets, and they actually use the same verbiage according to scripture. And when you go back and you read the book of Exodus, it said God came down, right? God came down. And we see that in the stories of the word. He showed up as a pillar of fire and a cloud of smoke. God showed up. And what I love about that, he didn't just show up. Because a lot of times as Christians, we think, I see God. I see the goodness of God. I know who he is in my life. Or this guy that's walking next to me at work or whatever else that doesn't know who he is, I see him beat down, discouraged, this, that, and the other. He doesn't see God. I truly believe God is fixing to show up in a way just as he did in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just the Israelites that seen God. The Egyptians seen him too, mm-hmm. right? Those that even had their hearts against him. Why? We don't believe. We have our own gods, whatever. God showed up in a way that he revealed himself. And what that did and what it's going to do today is it's going to bring a revelation of who God is. And we need to be ready. If we are not living in the joy of our salvation in that moment, how can we now share that message to that one beside us at work, in the cubicle, or in the shop, or wherever we're at, in the oil field, out there? How are we going to share that light if we're not living now in the moment of the joy of our salvation? Because when God shows up, we can point and say, yeah, that's why. That's why. That's how I'm able to get through these days, not feeling beat up, beat down, depressed, griping, complaining, all those things. Like, go back and look at the story, the life of the Israelites. You've seen them so quickly fall into that. And if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. Oh, those gas prices. Oh, the grocery bill. Like, doing all those things. Do you realize that in those moments when you speak those things, you're giving them your focus? You're actually giving them lordship in your life because they become the words from your mouth? The word's very clear about that. From the abundance of your heart is where your mouth speaks. Mm-hmm. So listen. Listen to what's coming out of your mouth and knowing that that's what you are now in that moment putting on the throne of your life. That's kind of sobering. Mm-hmm. You know? That's kind of sobering because we have to listen to the things we say and understanding why is that so important? Because death and life come from your tongue. What you speak becomes your focus. It becomes the way that you think. It becomes the way that you feel about things. Don't get me into feelings. You know, just get rid of those things. Yeah. Let's go for truth, right? Let's go for truth of the gospel and not focus on those things. And if we have our focus on the Word of God, the joy of who God is in our life, putting our focus on how good He is. You know what? The way I think about this, and you know, I'm in my own personal journey. I walked away from my business 9 months ago, dude. Like, walked away, closed the door in obedience to what God has brought me to, and then into the greatest recession of my lifetime. You know, like walking into the highest bills, the biggest inflation, those things I've ever experienced in my lifetime at almost 50 something years old, 46 when I am. But in this lifetime, I walked away from a supply. But what God has shown me and taught me in this time, it wasn't me anyway. I wasn't the supply. You know, even life itself teaches you as the man. It's your job. It's your responsibility to provide, to supply for your family. I'm not saying we don't need to work. I'm not saying that. But there is a perspective that we have lost because of society and the way that we've been trained up. That it's the man's job. And even nowadays, the woman's job, because you can't survive without two jobs in a house nowadays, you know. But there's a way that seems right to a man that ain't. It's just not right. And God has brought me in my personal walk to a place where now I see Him as provider in a way I've never seen Him as provider before. I don't carry that load anymore. And I'm telling you, that's freedom. I have never been at a place in my faith and in peace in my heart that I am today. And I lack more today than I ever have. And it don't make sense up here. It doesn't make sense. But He has provided for me in ways that, I mean, I heard somebody say the other day, like, I understand, God, what faith is. I'm walking in that faith. But, like, I'm still in up here going, I'm planning. Okay, this bill's coming up, like, 2 weeks. I see how much money I've got in the bank. Like, it's still in my mind. And I heard somebody the other day, they were just sharing, and they said, concern is still fear. If you're still thinking about, you know, and I thought, okay. So one night, I go to bed, you know, and guess what starts popping up? Two more days. That draft's coming on that high electric bill, you know? And if I say, oh God, where's the money coming? This, that, if I start the concern, I'm opening the door. I'm giving place for fear to move in, or anxiety, or whatever. I'm opening that place instead of conditioning my heart to trust and saying, okay, that bill's due in 3 days. Thank you, Father, that I can pay it. It doesn't matter that it's high. Thank you, Father, that you are my supply, that bill will be paid. I thank you for that. And as a matter of fact, now I'm just going to toss the thought. I don't care anymore. Because if I do care, guess what? I care. And it'll bring things into my life that aren't peace, that aren't joy, the fruits of the Spirit, right? All those things that aren't that. And that's simple instruction. Take every thought captive. Bring it to the obedience of Christ. Well, what does Christ say? I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I got you. You know? Trust in that. And if you're out there today, like, I get it. There's bills to be paid, right? Find the joy in your salvation. Let God do a work that you've never seen in your life because you're putting your focus on Him and not those things. What does He say in His Word? Just ask. Simply make that your request. If you have a need, go ask. Hit your knees and say, God, you know this need anyway, but I'm just asking that you would fill it. I thank you for your provision. If I have a job, that's a good paying job. If it's not a good paying job, it doesn't matter. I thank you that you are making it, that you have a way. And I thank you that I'm not going to look at this more than I'm going to look at you. I'll take a break.
What came to mind, Jason, whenever you were talking about that, the source and the provision and everything, something Pastor Dwight showed me and explained to me was whenever we come to Christ, we come to God, and we're in the dark. He's not asking us to muster up the source. All he's asking is us to believe in the source. He, like this room, I don't have to generate the electricity. The electricity is there. The source is there. Monica just has to do her part and flip that switch and keep that flipped up. And whenever it does go down, I have to bring my, I have to ring. It's not God that turned it off. Right. Something Monica, my trust, or whatever it is, I have to keep myself in that place where my switch is flipped for the source to flow through. You know, doubt, fear, concern. For me, mine is a worry. My main thing is worry. What if I do it wrong? What if I mess up? That's what I struggle with. And I have to keep reminding myself it's not me. It's not me. Right. It's him in me that's changing me. And it's okay if nobody else understands what God's doing through me and in me. Right. It's okay. I don't have to worry about how other people feel about me or what they think of me, as long as I know that my heart is right with my God.
I gotta bring a Neva-ism.
Okay.
What other people think about me is none of my business. That's right. One of my favorites of Neva's advice. That what, helped me a lot.
What they think and what they say about me ain't my business. Yes. We do have a few prayer requests this morning, y'all. Hang on, let me wipe these.
Why is this leaking?
I need a plumber. Lord. Pray for the family and friends